Carolyn Olson from Cottonwood, Minnesota. We farm 1,100 acres of organic row crops, and we finish approximately 14,000 pigs a year.
Carolyn, let's talk about the crop season first, 2018. How was it for you and your family?
This year was interesting. We had a lot of rain in the spring, and then it got hot and dry, and then we had a lot of rain this fall. So we had drawn out spots. We had it was a rough fall, so got combine stuck quite a few times, and yields were down just due to weather conditions, and not a great year, but not a disaster.
So when you say yields were down, whole farm averages, but from field to field, did you see some extreme yield variability within fields?
We did. We absolutely could tell which fields were tiled well and where all the tile lines were able to run as they're supposed to. We found the fields where tile had been crushed when they were putting in power lines or redoing water lines. So it was very evident this year on your drainage. And you could see that not only visually by where all the drown out spots were, but by how healthy the crop was as well.
Now, I know a lot of farmers had to go to plans B and C with their herbicide programs because of how wet it was. But for an organic farmer, how did that impact your weed control strategy?
Well, we did not get into flame weed much of the corn at all. And you could see to the row where we had to quit flame weeding. So that hurt us a little bit in the corn. Soybeans, they were pretty clean. They were fairly clean this year because we were able to get enough weed control passes done earlier in the season. So then we have migrant families that come up from Texas, and they just worked a little harder to keep the soybeans clean. So that was, the soybeans were not bad. So, but in the corn, we could see issues with, and you could see that in the yield response as well.
And there's still a little bit of work left for your farm to get done. What is left?
Well, we were deep ripping some bean ground, so we finally got our manure hauled, and then we have about 50 acres of corn ground left to plow that we hope that it's not snowing too bad so that we can finish that. But so we're really close to being done. We would really like to be done.
Well, you mentioned the migrant worker, and labor has certainly been a very big issue for agriculture for several years. But as you look at the needs on your farm and who's available and how the current system works and maybe doesn't work, what are your thoughts?
You know, we have a unique situation where we've worked with the same families for many years. And the first family that we had hired, they've aged out. So the parents are retiring. The kids are all through college. They're getting their master's degrees. So they all are finding jobs back in Texas. So we are on another family that has committed to work for us for many years. And we've built an apartment complex for part of their family to live in during the summer. So we've built that relationship. So we have that access to the family. And, you know, the relationship is more than just will you work for us. It's, you know, we check in with each other throughout the year, and we're hoping to actually go see them in February down in Texas. So the family relationships are important. So for us, it's a little bit of a different situation than some of our friends in the dairy, where they're looking for the skilled worker and the TN visa type worker to come in. So for us, it's been a really good thing to be able to find these families that are willing to come up to Minnesota in the summer, and then they go back to their houses and their schools in Texas in the fall.
Even though your situation, as you call it, unique, do you think there are some aspects of the relationship that you've developed that would be helpful to say folks in the dairy that are looking for that labor force and aren't sure maybe the right way to go about it?
Yeah, you know, every company, every farm, every relationship is going to be different, and how you build that is going to be different. But I think the one thing that ties it all together is building that you're more than just a number to the farmer. You're more than just somebody coming in and doing the job. You want to build that relationship where they want to do a good job for you, and where if they're telling their friends that there's jobs available, you want them to recommend your place. And so for me, the important thing is to build those relationships, no matter what, you know, what avenue you're looking to find workers is you know, treating them as a human, treating them as a person, as a family. And I think that is also what makes a good employee.
On the hog finishing side, how concerned are you about the African swine fever outbreak in China and some of the other disease threats that are circulating around the world right now?
You know, having seen, you know, other disease outbreaks and how fast that they can happen, and they don't come in the traditional routes. They might come in through feed, or they might come in through trucks coming and hauling the feed, and it's a big concern. And you know, that should be one thing that we're also looking at, not only foot and mouth disease vaccines, but also how do we handle an incoming disease potential such as African swine fever. So it is a concern. You know, biosecurity is one reason why we have confinement barns as we do, to try and keep the pigs as healthy as they can be. But it's going to also require some diligence on our part.
The other big topic I know that's being talked about here and everywhere across agriculture is trade. And so as you look at the U.S.-Mexico-Canada agreement and the potential of getting that signed into law, a new NAFTA, but also what's going on with China, and so much uncertainty is still out there, Carolyn, how do you feel about where the U.S. stands on trade today, and where do you expect it to be in, say, 6 months to a year?
My hope would be that in 6 months to a year, we have more trade agreements on the table that are waiting for congressional approval or have already been approved. You know, we say here in Farm Bureau a lot that if you're not at the table, you're on the menu. And once you've lost a market, it's very difficult to get it back. So trade is a huge concern. And we would like to see those trade agreements going through quickly, but we also understand that there's some tweaking that needs to be done that might take a little more time. But the sooner we can get trade agreements and that certainty back, the better.
How has the trade uncertainty, these disruptions, impacted your farm?
Well, we're somewhat isolated. We don't do a ton of exporting, save for the pork side. So, you know, we feel slightly isolated from the trade issues as far as, you know, the corn and soybean side of things. But, you know, we are concerned. We do custom finish our pigs, and we want our pig owner to be successful. So we want him to be able to make a living and keep producing pigs that we can grow. So, you know, on that side of things, you know, we do also feel slightly isolated, but at the same time, we're very concerned. We want our neighbors to be successful. We want our neighbors to have an outlet for their crops. And we want, you know, we want people to be buying all over the world. We want people to be buying what we're growing and what we're raising. So, you know, while it may not directly impact the organic side of things, as one might think, you know, we do feel some of the pressure.
Anything else that's come up at the annual meeting that you want to make sure we talk about today?
Well, it is the 100th, the kickoff of the 100th year, so that's exciting. It's wonderful to look back at the history of Farm Bureau and also to look at where we're going. And that's where, you know, young farmers and ranchers come in. That's where, you know, past people who were active in the past, you know, to come back in and take a new look and a fresh look at Farm Bureau and getting involved and telling their neighbors about the good work that we're doing, because I do believe we are doing good work. And it's, you know, we do support all of agriculture, whether you're a large farmer, a small farmer, organic, direct marketing, you know, conventional. We support everybody, and we're trying to make sure that our policies reflect that as well. So, you know, we can't have that without member participation. So that's kind of the big thing, you know, that we're focusing on this weekend, is how important our members are and how it's really awesome to be able to look back at 100 years, but how important it is to look at the next 100 and where can we go from here.
Well, congratulations on the big anniversary, and thank you so much for your time, Carolyn. I appreciate it.
Thank you so much.